Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Listeners of Sirius CFM in Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought, on this day, the 5th of this blessed month of Ramadan, 1443, corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 7th of April, 2022. We have our Honorable Mufti Saab here. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته بارك الله فيكم وزايد خان جزاك الله خيرا.
Today our topic is going to be on the month of Ramadan with regards to fasting and questions surrounding it. Mufti Saab, what is the meaning of Ramadan?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all are aware that there are 12 lunar months. Almighty Allah has made reference to it in chapter 9, verse number 36. But the only month that is mentioned by name in the Noble Quran is Ramadan, and we find that in chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse number 185, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. So Ramadan means tahriqu dhunub, to burn the sins. So what we need to do is ask ourselves, 5-6 days already passed now, inshallah, 5 days for us and those who follow Makkah, Medina, Aqsa and so forth. There today is the 6th fast already. So therefore we need to do some introspection and ask ourselves, how many vices, how many sins have we burned in such a manner that to ilallahi tawbatan nasuha, chapter 66 verse number 8, that you make tawbah in such a manner that is tawbatan nasuha, we don't go back to those vices and sins in the future, that is tawbah maqbula. I think what we should do is, maybe if you're asking those terminologies, then ask 3-4 one time, then we can just deal with it.
Mufti Saab, what's the meaning of tarawih?
So what other words you got there? Tarawih and?
Tarawih, fidya, kafara, sadaqatul fitr.
Yeah, so one time we can deal with all of them. So one is tarawih. So tarawih means that to relax. So therefore for people to read tarawih like Ferrari, that is unacceptable. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you swallu fa innaka lam tuswalli, that you know in Tirmidhi Sharif it comes, the hadith is known as Al-Musifi Salat, that the person came and he read Salat not properly, haphazardly. Nabi alayhi salam told him, swalli, read again, fa innaka lam tuswalli. He read again second time, so again Nabi alayhi salam said, but he was a person that did not know much, so Nabi alayhi salam said, okay, I'll teach you now how to perform Salat. So many a time we read Tarawih, it leaves a lot to be desired, the way we perform the ruku, the sajda, and so forth. Nabi alayhi salam said, the people who steal in ruku, sajda, are like one of the biggest crooks. So imagine that, how offensive if somebody calls us a crook, and this is called a biggest crook. So therefore, that and you pause in between. So that's why it's called Tarawih. So remember that we shouldn't go to that masjid or read Salat behind that imam who's eating up his words and not reading Tarawih properly and so forth. The tilawat, fasting is a duty, and tilawat of Quran is the beauty of Ramadan. So therefore go to that masjid, even if they come 5, 10, 15 minutes later, but at least they read the Salat properly and the manner it ought to be read. Then you take fidya, that is mentioned in Surah 2, verse 184. So fidya is only applicable, remember, for those people, two categories. Those who are very, very old and remember that they don't have stamina, strength, energy to fast, or those who are ill, young or old, male or female, and perpetually in, and according to the doctor's prognosis, that they cannot fast till they die, so meaning they're incapable of fasting, and in a case like that, so al-mariz would die him. So a lady who's pregnant, a lady who's breastfeeding, a lady in menses, so all this will not be applicable to you. So fidya will be 30 rand per day per fast, 900 rand for the month, and you round it off with 1,000 will be better. So fidya is a compensation, so we mustn't confuse issues. And for ladies who are in their menses or in a breastfeeding or postnatal nifas, qaza is compulsory. So we must know fidya is the payment is there, and other cases qaza, and where qaza is compulsory, payment will not suffice. So we must be clear on these issues. Kafara is that terminology in Ramadan Mubarak now, alhamdulillah. A person deliberately, intentionally, he's got no reason, no valid reason according to Sharia, and then he goes and eats and drink or fulfill conjugal relationship with his wife or the wife with the husband and so forth. So in a case like that, remember that, and they did it while they were fasting. So in a case like that, one qaza is compulsory and 60 fast consecutively. That 60 fast consecutively is the kafara, the penalty for desecrating the sanctity of Ramadan. Then you have Sadaqatul Fitr. The hadith is beautifully mentioned in Abu Dawood. Farad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam Zakat al-Fitri. It's called Sadaqatul Fitr. It's called Zakat al-Fitr. Both refer to the same thing. So why must we pay it? You can pay it now, pay it next week, pay it in the last week of Ramadan. All is permissible. Tuhuratul lisa'imi min al-laghwi wa rafath. It's a means of purification for the fasting person, that we saw wrong, we heard wrong, we spoke wrong things. And second benefit, wa tu'matul lil masakin. It's only for Muslims. Zakat only for poor Muslims. Fidya, compensation only for poor Muslims. Sadaqatul Fitr, Zakatul Fitr only for poor Muslims. So it will empower them so they can also enjoy a good sumptuous meal on the day of Eidul Fitr. And they can also prepare, buy nice clothes and so forth and so on. So therefore we should understand the wisdom of these terminologies as well. I don't know if there's any other terminology maybe I left out. Is there anyone? I don't know. I'm not sure now.
No. Mufti Sahab, with regards to Taraweeh, is it 8, 10 or 20 rakats?
We must remember that we must just take 2-3 ahadis together, and from there we will understand things properly. The question arises that Taraweeh Salat is Sunnati Muakkada. That's one. Second one is this, that look at the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, and it's Sahih hadith. La tajtami'u ummati ala dhalala. That the ummah will never have consensus on something that is astray. So when we study at Tashri'ul Islami, what we call the Islamic law, and Masadiru Sharia, the sources of Islamic law. So we have Quran Sharif, we have Sunnah, we have Ijma. So all four schools, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, Hanafi's, all say 20 rakats or more. Nobody said less than 20 rakats. Imam Malik and them got more than 20 rakats. But anyway, minimum is 20. If you want a reference of this, go open Tirmidhi Sharif, you will find it there. So that's one point. Now, can anybody who has some figment or some understanding of Islam, can he ever think and dream that these four imams and the giants, they took this out from their pocket? So obviously not. So remember that all four schools agree. Now we're going backwards. So in time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and already they were reading 20 rakats and so forth, and then the three witr. If you one dalil for this. Go open Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba. Go and open Mishkat Sharif. Go and open, you must remember, that Alaykum bi Sunnati wa Sunnati al-Khalafai Rashidin is mentioned. And go open Abu Dawood ibn Majah. This hadith is mentioned. So you will find that you must follow my way and the way of my rightly guided Khulafa. So therefore we say that there's 20 rakats. You know, there's one lecturer that I used to always sit in his lectures there in Medina Munawwara, Sheikh Umar Falata. He was a giant. His family hailed from Nigeria. He taught Hadith Sharif there 49, 50 years in Masjid Nabawi. So next to him there was another big Sheikh, Sheikh Atiyah Salim Rahimahullah. He also passed away. He wrote a book, and in there it's written that in Masjid Nabawi, remember 20 rakats continued for more than 1,000 years. So these Salafis of today, that they must read this book. This book I'm going to give reference now. All these Salafis, the puppets of Muhammad bin Salman, Murtad bin Shaitan, they can't speak one word against him because they're on his payroll and so forth. So you must remember Shaykhul Islam ibn Taymiyyah, so he's the top one. Then he celebrated student Hafiz ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah. Then his student is Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, wrote a book, Ar-Raddu ala man ittaba'a ghayr al-madahib al-arba'a. I have this book by me. So you must look at the table. You got Ibn Taymiyyah on top, Shaykhul Islam. Then you got his greatest student, Hafiz ibn Qayyim. And then you got his student, remember, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. And he wrote this book. Today the Salafis, they don't speak of this book, but we have it. And nobody can say he didn't write it. He wrote it 100%. Those people who go against the four schools of thought, they dwell and mudwil. They are Muslim, but they corrupted and they astray and they lead others astray. There I gave it to you from your own scholars. So therefore, don't come and tell us Ibn Taymiyyah said so, or Ibn Qayyim said so, or so. The greatest students of theirs have written against those people who go against the four schools of thought. Therefore, this is tala'ub bid-deen that is going on today in the Haramain Sharifain, and therefore we will say that especially those who are following the Hanafi school and the four schools, that you read your ten rakats with the Imam and you read your witr, and thereafter you read your ten rakats Taraweeh. Yes, if you musafir and so forth and you don't read, so it's fine, because the musafir don't have to read, but if you read it, it's very good. So remember that we dead against these type of things here, because I always say the Salafis of today I'm speaking about. So you must remember that they can't even count. They're like the Christians, that you ask them three talaq, they tell you three is one. So that's what the Christians say, Trinity. But the hadith of three talaq is three is in Bukhari Sharif. You ask them, can you read Quran Sharif for the deceased? They say bid'ah and not permissible. But all four schools say three talaq is three. All four schools say you can make tilawat of Quran for the deceased. The hadith mentioned, you must remember, that the Ma'qil bin Yasar radiallahu ta'ala, and is mentioned in Surah Yasin, in Musnad Ahmad, in Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Iqra Yasin ala Mutakum. So many examples we can give you. Taraweeh 20 rakats, and they will tell you 8 rakats. Go see the hadith they use. Fi Ramadan wa ghayrihi. So you must remember that. So since when is Taraweeh out of Ramadan? So that hadith is to do with Tahajjud Salat. The word wa ghayrihi is the qarina, is the alamat, is the sign that hadith got nothing to do. You must remember what Taraweeh Salat. And they say there's no hadith at all of 20 rakats. There is hadith. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anumaz hadith in Musannaf Ibn Mushayba. And there is written Nabi alayhi salam read 20 rakats. That's a different issue, that the hadith is weak and so forth. But you can't say there's no hadith. Some ulama even said the hadith is accepted. But majority say it's weak. We accept that. But to say that you must read 8 rakats because the hadith you are quoting, that is, you must remember, totally incorrect, because that got to do with tahajjud and not Taraweeh Salat.
Mufti Saab, for a female who is pregnant, is there any concession for her with regards to Taraweeh?
Remember that all you ladies, or men also, who are old, who are sickly, and so forth and so on, so you must read 20 rakats, but if you can't read it 10 times 2 in units of 2, 2, 2, so read it in units of 4. So how you read the sunnats of Zuhr, the sunnat muakkada before Zuhr, you read it like that. You can't stand and read, then sit and read, sit on the floor, sit on the chair, sit on the bed, wherever you're comfortable, and in that way there you read the 20 rakat. Today, I think I got from 4 or 5 different people that, you know, my wife can't manage 20 rakats. Another one will say I'm pregnant. Another one will say, no, I only read 8 rakats or 10 rakats. But I always think about this, that if you tell them to go for shopping and so forth, you know, so what the lady, she'll be maybe in the first surf, you know. So when it comes to shopping, when it comes to our worldly things, then nobody says, no, that I'm not well and that. But when it comes to Taraweeh, you will find 101 excuses. There might be some, we don't say no. But by and large, remember Bahana, they were just looking for excuses. It's like I remember when we go for Hajj, you know. Then the people, they got this excuse. You say, no, I can't go pelt now. You know why? Because now the crowd is too big and so forth and so on. So my husband will pelt for me. So I asked the Kala, if Dawood Mota means bin Dawood. So we changed his name a little bit, we called it Dawood Mota. I said, if Dawood Mota got a sale, you will be there or not there? Kala says, yes, I'll be there. So if you go to Dawood Mota, which is packed to capacity, why you can't go for pelting? And pelting, you got so much time. You can go, and today it's so easy. They don't have 3 shaitans only. You know how many shaitans they got, Maulana? So you must remember, they got 15 shaitans now. But the people, you must remember, only see 12. You must remember that. When you come from Mina side, you know, and you want to pelt, then you will see 6. And then when you come from Azizia, Makkah side, is another 6. So there's 12. But in the underground, for the royal family and dignitaries, they got there in the basement another 3. So that people don't know about. So total amount of shayateen, the jamarat, symbolic shaitan, the 15. You must remember that. So anyway, the point I'm making is, but yet people look for excuses. So that is unacceptable. Remember that. We must be looking for excuses to do more during Ramadan, not to do less. Remember, that is a big problem with us during Ramadan. This morning, I told one youngster, I say, bye, I'm phoning you, you're sleeping so long. How long are you sleeping? Come, I teach you a lesson. You know what is Ramadan? Ramadan is time to make jihad, to strive in that. It's not khana, pina, sona, and pahana, you know. They just eat, sleep, and drink, and go toilet. No. So, that we made the Ramadan like that, and so forth. So, remember that in Ramadan, we must look for avenues that are according to the Sharia, so that we can practice more and more. But the Ummah today looks for loopholes not to practice. That is how weak the Ummah has become. Allah protect us all.
I mean, Mufti Saab, does if your person vomits a mouthful, does it break the fast?
Regarding this vomiting every day of Ramadan, I get questions. You must remember, just remember this usul. The hadith in Bulughul Maram. Bulughul Maram is an excellent hadith kitab written by Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani and open Mishkat Sharif, open Musnad Ahmad. Every hadith kitab almost you will find. So the words are, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man istaqa'a fa'alayhi al-qadha. Whosoever vomits deliberately, intentionally, it is self-induced. You insert your finger in your mouth, you take a teaspoon and insert in your mouth, and then you vomit, then your fast will break, irrespective of the amount, according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's. Only Hanafis say mouthful. So Hanafis will say the fast will break regarding vomiting when it is intentional and mouthful. And majority scholars, Shafi'is, Hanbali's, Maliki's, say it will break once it is intentional and deliberate and self-induced. But the lady is pregnant and she's vomiting. A person is sick and they're vomiting. So in all those cases, the fast is valid. That is not deliberate. You must remember that. So therefore, irrespective whether it's mouthful or whatever, the fast, the psalm, the rosa is still valid. As long as it is unintentional and not deliberate, the fast is valid. Don't worry about that.
Mufti Sahib, a person's nose bleeds and he swallows, he's in doubt whether he swallowed some blood or not. What should
he do? Remember, if anything went through the mouth, then you must remember then, and you swallowed it, so then your fast will be broken. So obviously the person in a case like that must use what we call his discretion, ghalaba idhan. If he thinks most probably that something went through the mouth and the blood and so forth, and then it went inside and he swallowed, then the fast is broken and he must keep one qadha. But if it's 99% sure that nothing went through, then remember the fast is valid. And if it's 50-50, what we call shirk, istiwa ut tarafain, then he must keep qadha so that he knows that he doesn't have shirk and doubt anymore.
Mufti Sahib, what about phlegm, if a person swallows phlegm?
No, remember phlegm and saliva, all that, no problem with that. That is inside your mouth and you can't avoid it also. So you must remember, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa usaha. Allah has not burdened any person more than his or her ability, capacity, capability. The last verse of Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 286. So the fast is valid, there's no problem with that.
Mufti Sahib, a person used Vicks for his nose.
Any, remember that we're going to do this. Let me just give you the usul and then it's finished. So the usul principle is this. Anything that goes through the mouth, food or drink or medication, so all that will break the fast. And anything medication, so now people got asthma, people got this illness, that illness, Allah protect us. Therefore, daily read the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from the dreaded and evil diseases and sicknesses. Authentic hadith in Sunan Nasai and Abu Dawood. Always read it, is very important. So the people use the pump, the inhaler, does that gadgets, whatever, that medication for the nose, so that also will break the fast. People suffer from piles and what have you, and then they take the suppositories, insert it through the back passage, so that will break the fast. Ladies go for internal to the gynecologist and so forth, so the apparatus or whatever else is inserted, so you must remember that will break the fast. The women, you must remember, they use, Molana, what's it word now? So, not the pad, the other one they use. So, you know what is that word they use, the woman? They insert something in the private part, you must remember. So, with a T it starts. So, anyway, so you must remember, the word just slips me. So, that thing you insert for the ladies while you're fasting, so you must remember, so that also will break the fast. And remember that what will not break the fast is that your eye drops, it will not break it, you must remember that. So, and medication, like, you know, you put surma or contact lenses. Yesterday somebody sent me something, he said this Maulana or Sheikh or I don't know who, they wrote there that eye drops and eye contact lenses break the fast. That's wrong, that's fairy tale. That. Likewise, remember that ear, in the ear water goes, you take ear bath, shower, so ijma and the fast don't break. And what about medication? You take ear drops and so forth and put in your ears. So remember that majority scholars say that the fast don't break. The old Hanafi scholars, they should say it breaks. But this is not minbab al-fiqh, it's minbab al-tib, you know. So this has got to do with medication. So the thing is this, is there a direct connection, manfad, what we call, between the ears and the stomach? So there isn't. So therefore, today's fatwa will be, if you put medication in your ears, then your fast will be valid, even according to the Hanafi scholars, Mufti Rashid Ahmed, Mufti Taqi, Mufti Rafi, many ulama have passed that fatwa. So we also passed that fatwa. Taqwa is different, so we'll say better you abstain and so forth. But even from a medical perspective, if you see, there is no direct link and so forth. So therefore, and majority scholars' fatwa also is that. So that's why you'll say that it won't break also. So like that, you should know, the basic usul you should know, that fasting will break with things entering the body, most things, not everything now, so entering the body. And you must remember that things that leave the body, that don't break the fast, that you perspire, a lady breastfeeds and gas comes out, all that, they don't break the fast. It will break the wudu, yeah, that urinating, defecating, all that, you want to break the wudu. But the fast will not break like that. So remember these basic rules, and that will assist you. Injections, so whether on the hand or the back, so all that is valid. Drips, so all that are valid as well. Miswak, you use all, no, it's not only permissible, it's encouraged to use miswak abundantly, daytime, nighttime, for Ramadan and other times of the year also, is 100% encouraged, and sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mufti Sahib, a female must fast due to menstruation, does she have to keep
100%. Remember that if a person rejects that, you lose your iman. So you're rejecting something which Quran says so. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَإِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. When a person is sick and now you get better and so forth, so qadha is compulsory. Quran says so. Likewise, a person is a traveler and so forth. So when he reaches home and now he has the days to fast, so that is compulsory upon him. He can't say, no, I'll just pay something. No, payment will not suffice. Qadha will be compulsory in those cases and those instances. While we're busy with that, let me mention one nice usul also. One nice good principle, because majority of our people are unaware of these things here. You see, there's a great usul of the Shafi'is, Hanbalis and them. And the usul, the principle, usul is a plural of asl, which means a principle, and usul will mean the principles, the law. So the law, according to Shafi'is, Hanbalis and them, is this: An-ni'matu la tanalu bil-mahzoor. You can't obtain the bounties and the concessions of the Sharia through haram things. So what do we mean by this? I give you an example. During Ramadan, a person wants to go see soccer match from Johannesburg to Durban, Cape Town, or vice versa, from here to England, from here to Portugal, or wherever, example, or Dubai, or Qatar, or wherever. So all this is haram danda. It's got nothing to do with Islam, right? So now you can't use this ayat here. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَإِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. You say I'm a musafir, so therefore I won't fast. So that concession is given only for things that are permissible. That you are in jihad, or you must remember really sick or something like that. But for haram things, you're going to meet girlfriend, for boyfriend, all that. So all that you're not allowed. Therefore, the Shafi'is, Hanbalis and them say that even Jama Baina Salatain, to combine the Zohar and Asr in Zohar time or Asr time, or combine Maghrib and Isha in Maghrib time or Isha time, is not permissible if the Safar is Safar and Ma'asiyah, if the Safar is to do with sin and vices and so forth. So therefore, that this ayat here, that you have that concession not to fast if you are a musafir, that is permissible. But if it's haram, then the concession falls away. Then you must fast, remember that. And you can't combine salat also. So that is the fatwa verdict of the Shafis in them. Hanafis say that whether your safar is permissible or haram, you're still entitled. That is Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah's ijtihad. But remember, if you take the Shafis and them, their usul is very good. And in this day and this age, we must speak of this. So people must not try and use and bend the Sharia for vices and then say they still want concession. People commit zina, Allah forbid. I give you another principle, another example. The people commit zina, Allah forbid. Now the lady, they eloped. The lady, she fell pregnant, right? So you must remember, according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, finish. That child is harami child, and the lineage will go to the mother. Yulhaqul waladu bil irrespective when the nikah took place, irrespective how long after that the child was born. Only Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah states that no, we must see date of nikah and date of the delivery of the baby. If it is 6 months or more, because the minimum period of gestation or pregnancy is 6 months, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا, so 24 months is for the breastfeeding and 6 months is for the hamal. So if it is 6 months or more, then the Hanafis only will say that child, that baby boy, baby girl, lineage will go to the father. And if it is less than 6 months, then everybody agrees that the child is a harami child and illegitimate child. No sin, no blame on the child. The blame is on the boyfriend, girlfriend, those who committed fornication, and lineage will go to the mother. But the Shafi is, Malik is, somebody say no. A ni'matu, that to have a lineage is a bounty of Allah. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَعَلَهُ نَصَبًا مَوْقِعُ الْإِمْتِنَانِ. Allah Jalla Wala highlights it as a bounty and favor that He has blessed us with. So when it is a bounty, النِّئْمَةُ لَا تَنَالُ بِالْمَحْزُورِ, you can't obtain the bounties of Allah through haram things. So once this zina took place, those boy, girl, eloped, they must be given 100 lashes in public. Surah 24 verse 2, their marriage will be valid, but their child will be illegitimate. The child's lineage goes to the mother. See how good the usul is, the principle is of the Shafis and them. So therefore we must educate our people. Here in South Africa, I don't know, Maulana, if that time you were studying or what you knew. We in 2022. You remember which year was the World Cup in South Africa? It was 2010. So people, they missed their Jummah Salat. People, they left the masjid. People, they went to read there by the stadium. And then they made Jama because the match is starting. So they read Jummah and some of them, and the others read Zohar. And they combine Zohar and Asr. And that. So that Asr Salat is not valid. You must, and for Jummah to read there, for soccer, and it is haram also. So anyway, so that Asr Salat is not valid at all. According to Hanafi, is not valid, is not time. According to majority scholars, is not valid because you did for haram purposes, you made jama, and for haram purposes to make jama is not permissible. You see how good the usul is. So therefore we must always understand people, Maulvis are involved in what you expect from the public and these type of things here. So therefore with Ramadan now, we must know that people want to go see soccer and cricket and that meet this one, meet that one, and got examination. I got questioned this week here. Say, my son got a very important examination in university, and if he's going to fast, then he can't concentrate. So please tell us, is the concession? So I told them, this is the concession. Tell him his university degree is not worth the paper on which is written, and if he reject fasting, so for that reason there, nakhafu alayhi kufr. You must remember that. So such people, we fear for their iman. So we don't say it out of the fold, but to come with, you know, foolish and all feeble excuses like that. So imagine people are prepared to sacrifice the fast just for some lousy exam and these type of things here. So weak the iman of people has become.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Mufti Sahab, the question is, with regards to messy itikafs, is this permissible or not?
Remember that Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said for itikaf once for the whole month. And when Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked why, he, the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said he was searching for Laylatul Qadr. But thereafter it became specified that Laylatul Qadr will be in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So then Nabi alayhi wasalam, did not sit for the first 20 days. So the answer is this, if people sit for the whole month, so we will say it's permissible. See, I give you one, two incidents. Here in our masjid, Jami Masjid, there was a brother, Abbas Bhai Kugan. He sat for more than 30 years, some say 32, some say 33, some say like that. So for the whole month, lo and behold, when the time came for him to pass away, so he was ill, but he insisted he wants to go for Jummah. So he went, you must remember, for Jummah Salat. He read the Jummah, he heard the Khutbah, he read the Jummah, and when they picked up their hands for Dua, so he just collapsed and he passed away there in the Masjid. So when you are a person dedicated, you know, you love the Masjid, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. So therefore we say it's permissible, but not carte blanche. We must remember there are conditions attached. I saw myself in 1977, I left Karachi during holiday time, and you know, we went to Jalalabad to spend time there with Hazratji, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib, Nawwarullah Murkadu. Then one day, we went, two, three of us, we told Hazrat, please give us ijazat. So he said, Q. We said, no, we want to go to Saharanpur and go meet Hazrat Sheikh. We found out what time you can go and so forth. Then Hazrat said, fine, but you must come back. And we said, fine. So we went, and hundreds of thousands maybe people were sitting there. So we will say that there. But see, Hazrat Sheikh Nawwarullah Murkadu, they had guards running around, walking around there. If you talk, expelled from the itikaf. You can't, you must go out, finish. They used to make law there, you read Quran or you sleep, you make zikr and all, there. No talking allowed. You see? Now you take our itikafs here in South Africa and London and here and there and wherever else is happening, Pakistan. So you must remember it has taken the, like a party, like a carnival attitude. You understood? That they will advertise. They will say you must come and you will get 3 meals a day. How 3 meals a day? Suhoor you will get, then you will get iftar, and you will get some snacks and all that after Taraweeh. So it's still 3 meals, you see, one. Then I laugh at this one, they say even your washing will be done. Understood? So some guys, they just come and park there. Why? You say, this is nice. 1 month we'll get free chows, free boarding, lodging, plus our clothing also is sorted out and so forth. So all that chalo is still weekend. But the biggest problem is this. You must remember that now they make collective zikr. So collective zikr in a masjid is jais. But again, they shirt and conditions. If people are reading salat, anybody, if people are making dua, people are making tilawat of Quran, people are sleeping, and you make loud zikr, it's not permissible. So you must remember, when the ulama object on it, they're not objecting without reason. They're objecting for valid reason. So sometimes I saw that people sitting for etikaf and that their underwear hanging there in the masjid and that. Now how can that be justified? You must remember these type of things here. So we must always know, in Islam you have certain things, but the certain actions will be permissible, but shara'it, what conditions. It's not carte blanche. You must remember, just come and just park there and this type of things there. So we must, the sheikh, whoever is in charge, he must, that's one problem. Second problem, if you ask all these brothers, 30, 50, 100, 200, whatever, fine, you sitting here. Say, no, I must be next to my sheikh. I must next to me. Right, fine. The town from where you come, how many people are sitting for etikaf there? You will see so many towns, nobody are sitting. So for you, and if your sheikh was a true sheikh, he will tell you, there's no need for you to be here. You go back to your town and you sit there in your town. Because especially according to Hanafis, others are not so strict. Shafis, Maliki, somebody. But Hanafis say, it's sunnat mu'akkada alal kifaya. That in the town there, at least one person, one male has to sit in the masjid for the last 10 days. And if nobody sits for the sunnah etikaf, sunnah mu'akkada ala kifaya, kulluhum athimun, then the entire community are guilty of a major sin. So now, if the sheikh was really a sheikh, he will ask his students and murids and whatever, that your town, are the people sitting there or not? So you see the easy example. I was in Pretoria, you know, many years ago. So I even mentioned it in front of them in a lecture. So I said that, this was for the last 10 days. They told me there's one youngster is sitting for etikaf, you know. So I asked him, which masjid you're sitting? He said, this masjid. So I said, oh. I said, why you like to sit here in the masjid? He said, the chow's here. Now for you who don't understand South African terminology, chow's mean the food. So the chow's here, number one. He picked up his thumb and made the sign. And you get chow's here, you won't get at home also. So imagine the intention is not the etikaf. The intention is the carnival atmosphere, the party atmosphere. We're going to get so many types of savouries, so many types of desserts, so many types of food and thus and thus. At home we don't get with variety, best I can sit for etikaf. So the intention is wrong sometimes. So we're not against the etikaf, we're against the things that happen, not to all, to some brothers. That, so all these kind of issues must be addressed. But end of the day, what has happened? This competition. The sheikh wants to see how many people sit by him. The sheikh wants to see how many people sit by him. That one says, we saw the giants of the ummah of this age and this time. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib. We saw Hazrat Allama Yusuf bin Nuri. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah. And the giants. So you must remember, no one had all these type of things here. Hazrat Allama bin Nuri Rahimahullah, I don't know if people know, 1974 was the first time I went to the Haram Sharif. So Hazrat Allama bin Nuri said for the last 33 years of his life, basically 33, 34 years in Masjid Nabawi for etikaf. And then in 77 he passed away. So we must remember this. They would go to the Haram and sit there and so forth. But this business here is permissible, we don't say. But you want to quote Hazrat Sheikh, then you must quote the conditions Hazrat Sheikh also had. Hazrat Sheikh and them, they had their guards. I went myself. And we know if anybody was, even we met Hazrat Sheikh. So we told him, I'm Jalalabad, I hear Hazrat Ji ke pass and all that. And we made mulaqat. He took out some dates from Medina and he gave it. And he told me, I was there in front. He said, Bakjaw Abi, Bakjaw. That go from here now. So you must remember. They wouldn't waste 1 second also. So you must remember that. And if you got the book, Suhbat Ba Awliya by Mawlana Taqiyuddin, I met him also. So he say, he writes the story. Our names are not mentioned, but it refers to us. So you must remember, we two, three of us were there. He writes there, Hazrat Sheikh ke paas baz Afriki tolaba ayate, or Hazrat Ji de farmaya bhag jao. So go away from here. Now you got your gift, go from here, give to Hazrat Ji and go. See how they made etikaf and how we make etikaf. So Zameen Aasman ka fark hai. So when people say, but Hazrat Sheikh, 100% Hazrat Sheikh did, but conveniently we're not quoting the conditions with what he did. You see, selective amnesia, that we want to use the name of the great people, but we don't want to say how they did it and what conditions they did it.
If this type of person has a wife and small children, is it rewarding for him to leave his children and wife and to go sit for itikaf?
It depends. You must remember that if that person there, mashallah, he's farighul hal wal bal, that he's got good income and all their properties or whatever, he's tired, retired, and the wife and them don't mind, they're living in a secure place and so forth, then it's good and there's nobody else to sit for itikaf, so it's no problem, then you sit and so forth. But you must remember the man got the, that's another element to it. So these people sit for itikaf, right? And you ask them, Mota, how many debts you got? He's drowning in debts, but he's sitting for etikaf. So which kind of etikaf is that now? So etikaf, most to most, is nafil, is the first 20 days. And the last 10 days is sunnah. So remember that for you to pay your debts is first. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُغْفَرُ لِشَّهِيدِ كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا دَيْنٍ. The person who made the supreme, supreme sacrifice, he gave his life in the path of Allah and he passed away. All his sins are forgiven, but the debts, the accounts that are outstanding are not forgiven. Open Mishkat Sharif, Mustafa Ahmad is Sahih Hadith. So Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa dain. Open Sunan Nasai. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from blasphemy and debts. Sahaba, the beloved companions, students who were there, were amazed and shocked. So wait a day of al-kufri, Ya Rasulullah. Ya Allah is like, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is like almost you equating death with blasphemy and kufr. Qala na'am. Nabi alayhi salam said yes. So we don't want the capitalistic society where we go into debt and debt. We must lead, try and lead a sin-free life, try and lead a debt-free life. That is what Islam. So if the person got debts, no. He must go and work, he must go shop, job, whatever, and etikaf, other people are there, so it's fine. But if you're free, you got no debts, this and all that, and nobody's sitting, then sit, no problem. But you must make proper arrangements for the wife and children and so forth. No sense sitting for etikaf, and then the strange man come there to your wife, you need this. Now what type of intelligence is that? That you want to sit in a masjid, but strange men come there and now they're busy talking and chatting with your wife because you're sitting for etikaf. So remember all this, we must take all the proper measures and put into place.
Mufti Sahib, a person missed a few rakats of Taraweeh and then he reads the witr. Can he catch it up after witr?
100%. Remember this tartib and sequence between Isha and Taraweeh. You can't read Taraweeh before Isha. There is sequence between Isha and witr. You can't read witr before Isha. But there's no sequence between Taraweeh and witr. It's better that the Taraweeh be before the witr. Ijalu akhira salatikum bil layli witra. Is authentic hadith in Muslim Sharif and so forth. The last salat should be witr. But if a person said, I know some khalas and old people, they're sending me questions. He say, okay, we're feeling so sleepy. Can't we just read Isha and then two rakats and then we read witr and then we will read Taraweeh? Because in Taraweeh we catch so much fish and all that, you understood? So I said, 100% you must do like that, but you must try and read the 20 also. So that is permissible, no problem. Likewise, you find people are reading in a masjid. And now because of the halim and lot of stories, so yeah, the stomachs are making all the sounds, you know. So now they have to rush to the bathroom, toilet, yeah, and there. So by the time they come back, two rakats is gone, four rakats is gone. So you read the witr, everything with the imam. And when you finish with that, imam is finished, you finish, then you must two rakats, read it then. You must four rakats, read it then. Whatever surahs you must know, you know, you read it. While we're busy on that, another issue of very great importance, especially now South Africans, other people are allowed to go to Makkah, Medina and so forth. So understand the masla and understand the masla properly. The masla is this, that there in the Haramain Sharifain and Cape Town and everywhere, so they read Witr Salat 2 and 1. It's the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. So it's Sahih hadith. Authentic hadith, open Muslim Sharif, all that you will find. So they read 2 and 1. And the Hanafis read 3 rakats one way. So the question that is posed and asked, can the Hanafi read behind the Shafis, Hanbalis and so forth? The Witr Salat, our fatwa is totally permissible. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, who's buried here, Rahimahullah, we used to ask, he said permissible. Mufti Taqi Sahib, Mufti Rafi Sahib. The biggest thing is this, Hazrat Alash Kashmiri, Rahimahullah, in his commentary and notes on Tirmidhi Sharif, Arfu Shadi, even he wrote, so you must remember, wa in salama, even if the imam makes salam after 2 rakat. Hazrat Allama bin Nuri also mentions it in the first volume of Ma'arif al-Sunan. We were there in 1974, and remember we used to read witr. Allama bin Nuri shouldn't read, because Hazrat Allama bin Nuri rahimahullah, he used to read his own Taraweeh, the last 10 rakats, 8 rakats and so forth, and then they used to read more and more Quran like that. And then they used to read the witr. But we used to read, and Hazrat Allama used to see us. Obviously, we there in the same tent, and there's no tent there, but the same corner and so forth. So then, no one, he never ever said we mustn't read. So therefore, it's permissible. That is, there are some ulama that say not permissible. So we will say that is ihtiyat and precaution. But if you read it, it's valid. You don't have to repeat it, nothing like that. So the usul, you must remember, when the imam is a Hanafi, then you Shafis must follow him. Malikis, Hanbalis, you follow him. The imam is a Shafi, Hanbali, you Hanafis follow him. So whoever the imam is, you read your Isha behind them. You read your Taraweeh behind them. So you read your Witr also. So remember, that will be permissible and acceptable.
Mufti Sahib, a person completed his Taraweeh in 10 nights. After that, does he still have to continue with the rest?
You must remember, there are two separate maslas here. One is Taraweeh Salat is Sunnat Muakkada for all 29 nights, 30 nights, depending how many days that Ramadan is. So that is an independent Sunnah. One is to complete the Quran Sharif. That's an independent Sunnah. So it don't mean that if people nowadays in South Africa, other countries, some people complete the Quran Sharif in one night, some in 3 nights and so forth. I told you about Jalalabad, 1977. So we finished the Quran 27 night, and that year we were sure, because they checked the moon and all, that there will be 30 days. So there is a sheikh, a big khalifa he was, of Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Muhammad Sayyidullah Khan Sahib, Dr. Hafiz Abdul Qadir Hansa, he passed away also. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. So he came to me and he told me, you know what, you see that classroom there, said Ji. He said, tomorrow night, and then he went to Dawood Mohideen, so the three of us, and he said, don't tell anybody, we will read 10 Jews, and so forth, 28, 29, 30th night. So we read, mashallah, but I think the 29th day or 30th day, so in the majlis, Hazrat Ji, somebody went to tell him, then he mentioned it, and he said that he's very happy, and so forth. But none of us, we just kept it discreet and quiet. So if you do like that in the starting, you've read 10 Jews, and you say, now I don't have to read Taraweeh, that's wrong. So because there are two separate sunnats, one is Taraweeh Salat, and one is completing the Quran Sharif. So therefore, we must not confuse issues here. Some people you will get, they'll tell you, where you got this to complete the Quran Sharif is sunnah. So we use the hadith, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin al-mahdiyin. It's authentic hadith. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he told the people, in time of Nabi alayhi salam, time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, people used to make their own jamaat in the masjid. One group here, one group here, like that. He said, no, we must appoint the imam, everybody read behind the imam. So Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu was appointed as the imam, and they read 20 rakats, and they completed the Quran Sharif. So from there, you say to complete the Quran Sharif is sunnah also. And during Ramadan, and 20 rakats, I told you about it already. So that is how. So when you speak, Kul hadi sabili adu ilallah ala basiratin. So Hazrat Mohana, Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib there in Medina Munawwara, he was there for 40 years. He's buried also in Baqi. So anyway, when I met him one day there, we were speaking. He said that anything in the work of Dawud Tabligh also, we must go and look for Dalil. That you can't just say, no, does, we must look for Dalil. Then he quoted this verse, Allah Basiratin. So therefore, when people ask us questions, we must know what is the Dalil and evidence and so forth and so on. So that is how the Ramadan becomes much more meaningful, inshallah. Any more questions, Mawlana? Last question?
Mufti Sahib, the old people, they take long to read the Quran. They want to know if it is permissible to not complete the khatam and just to read how much they can.
Yes, whatever you can manage. And another question that comes, people say that they were reading the Quran, they're in the 14 Jews, 16 Jews, 17 Jews. So now when Ramadan starts, must they restart the Quran or must they continue? So they must just continue from where they were. And if they finish it, then they start another Quran. Obviously, the more Quran Sharif you can finish, the better. But it don't mean it's a must. It's sunnah, it's good. But remember, that is not something that you know, that you don't read properly and so forth. So that as much as possible, try and read, inshallah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.